It's my privilege to share from the Word of God this morning. And to begin with, I'd like to focus our attention on some verses from Romans chapter 5. Just five verses right at the beginning of chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles there or your device, you might like to follow along. It'll also be on the screen. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope. We rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Last week, in leading communion, Liz spoke about hope. Hope that is centered on Jesus, not the forlorn hope of the world, but one that is centered on God's Son who has redeemed us by his blood. And this morning I'd like to draw out some truths from the Bible, particularly from that passage we read in Romans, about real hope, true hope, hope that is focused on Jesus. Not just hoping that our football team wins the grand final, not hoping we win Tats Lotto or something like that, but true hope that's focused on our relationship with God. Now, when you think about human beings, we're quite unlike the animal kingdom in lots of ways. One of the distinctions between us and the animal kingdom is that we're hardwired for hope. We're hardwired for hope. Now, the term hardwired comes from the computer industry, so it might be a little unfamiliar to you. In computer usage, hardwired means that a function has been made a permanent feature in a computer by means of permanently connected circuits. So it cannot be altered by software. Cannot be altered. So to say that we're hardwired for hope is to say that hope is a permanent feature in the human soul. It might be a little dimmed at times, but it can never be extinguished. We always hope. You can see something a bit similar with babies. They are hardwired to pay attention to anything that is fast moving, brightly coloured, or loud, or all three. So a parent in a Spider-Man outfit moving quickly and singing loudly is certain to get a baby's attention. They're hardwired for these things. J.I. Packer, the English-born Canadian evangelical theologian, in his book of daily devotions called Knowing God, says that hope, that is, longing for a future that is better than the past, is as natural as breathing. He would likely have agreed that hardwired is a good description. No matter our circumstances, as human beings, we can't stop hoping. We are always focused on the future and our hopes of what it may bring. We're always looking for a hope that delivers and a hope that persists. But it's where our hope is directed that is critical. You know, there are some very fine-sounding things that people have said through the centuries about hope. And some of them sound quite appealing. Some of you will have heard of Jonas Salk, the immunologist who developed one of the first and most successful polio vaccines. And some of us are young enough to remember the polio epidemic of the 1950s. And some of us had the Sabin vaccine at that time, an oral vaccine. Well, Jonas Salk said this about hope. Hope lies in dreams, in imagination, and in the courage of those who dare to make dreams into reality. And God certainly used Jonas Salk in his medical research to help fight the polio epidemic. But that statement is okay as far as it goes, but more information is perhaps needed. And you get an insight into what Jonas Salk was thinking when he said, "Nothing happens quite by chance. It's a question of accretion of information and experience." Would you put the fan on, please, Tony? So Jonas Salk believed that it was just a matter of gathering information, and that by gathering information, people could progress and that hope could be formed. Nothing to do with God in his mind. He believed in himself without any reference to dependence on the eternal. And his views and the views of many others in today's world represent a horizontal dimension of hope. In other words, in the minds of many people, hope is directed towards things, events, or people in this life, things in the horizontal dimension. Some people have hope in their innate abilities. Some have hope in their intellectual or sporting prowess. Some have hope in their ability for their wealth to provide a happy future for themselves. Some have hope in their preconceived notions of their might or strength. But it's all in this horizontal dimension. It's not directed towards God. Wishing for a thing to become true when confined entirely to the horizontal dimension is just a forlorn hope, built on nothing of substance. Many whom we read about in the Bible relied on their strength, on their might. Many came unstuck. Goliath the giant was killed by David, a young shepherd boy. Many of God's prophets prevailed against apparently overwhelming might of armies who waged war against God's people. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 17 and verses 5 and 13, he says in verse 5, "This is what the Lord says, 'Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord.'" And in verse 13 he says, "Lord, you are the hope of Israel." You are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Can I tell you something? Hope, when it is directed horizontally, will always disappoint. It will always disappoint. It may take a while sometimes, but it will eventually disappoint. Can I suggest to you that what we need is vertical hope? Now, what do I mean by vertical hope? It's fundamentally hope that's built on the vertical dimension. That is our relationship with God in heaven. The upwards dimension, hope in God. Part of the purpose of our worship here this morning is to instill a joint hope in our hearts, to focus together on the glory of God. So we have a horizontal dimension to our worship in that we meet to encourage one another in our faith. But that encouragement in the faith is founded on our faith in God in the vertical dimension. The Apostle Paul is quite clear about hope. He said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you may overflow with hope. Perhaps Paul was recalling that great promise from Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Well, there are thousands and thousands of quotations and memes out there about life and hope's relationship to life. How do we find the ones that we should cling to? Some people might say, well, if it's not in the Bible, then it has no value. What I'd say is that if it's in line with what the Bible teaches, the principles underpinning the Bible, and it embodies the vertical dimension, the upward dimension, the dimension of our relationship to God, then things like that could be quite helpful for us. So this could be a helpful tool to test all those sayings or memes about hope. Is it horizontal hope or is it vertical hope that connects us to God our Father? Now, perhaps you can help me as we go through a few sayings about hope. And the first one comes from Rick Warren. Rick Warren was the founder of the Saddleback Church in the U.S. He's an evangelical pastor and author. And what he said was, what gives me the most hope every day is God's grace. Knowing that his grace is going to give me the strength for whatever I face, knowing that nothing is a surprise to God. So horizontal or vertical? Which way do you vote? Vertical, isn't it? Clearly. The second quote I have for you for testing is a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. And some of you will have heard of him. famous philosopher. And he's probably best known for his quote, "God is dead." So I think we know where he's coming from. And what he said about hope was, in reality, hope is the worst of all evils because it prolongs man's torments. Horizontal. Horizontal. The man never believed in God, and so everywhere he looked for hope was horizontal. And perhaps that's why he came to the conclusion he did. He couldn't find anything that in that horizontal domain that gave him any blessing.
The word philosopher is not philosopher, it means friend.
Yeah.
Wise wisdom of friendship.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. There's nothing there, is there? Now, the third example is a fellow named Joseph Addison. And Joseph Addison was a 16th century essayist, poet and politician, the son of a Church of England minister who co-founded the Spectator newspaper long time ago. He also wrote a well-known hymn called "The Spacious Firmament on High," based on Psalm 19. And what he said, what Joseph Addison said, was three grand essentials to happiness in this life are something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. Well, what can we say? Is it horizontal or is it vertical? Probably more information is needed, and I've given you some of that already, in the sense that he was the son of a Church of England minister. He wrote a hymn, so we think we're leaning towards the vertical for Joseph Addison. The next quote is one from the Bible. "Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." Well, clearly, it's the vertical dimension, isn't it? Rejoice in our confident hope. And the last one is a quote from Desmond Tutu. And as you know, he passed away just last year. "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Horizontal or vertical? Vertical. A great man of God. And he was able to see hope when others could only see darkness. And the apartheid regime he fought against for a long, long time, eventually seeing Nelson Mandela released from imprisonment and rejoicing and giving thanks to God. Perhaps one of the best-known hymns written about hope is the hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." Sometimes it's known as "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." It was written by Edward Mote in 1834. And while you may not know, apart from who wrote it and when, what you may not know is the original title of this hymn was "The Immutable Basis for a Sinner's Hope." Immutable meaning unable to be changed, hardwired. "The Immutable Basis for a Sinner's Hope." "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." So let me return now to where we started in Romans chapter 5. And there are some connections there. It's a very rich five verses. It has everything in it. It has everything in it. It has hope. It has grace. It has faith. It has justification. It has so much. In the first verse, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope in the glory of God. You see how God has connected our hope to our justification. God has connected our hope to our justification by grace through faith in Jesus. God also connects our hope to the glory of God. Our hope is that God will complete his work, getting the glory that is his due. His glory is our good. Secondly, when we read the next three verses, we read, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Character produces hope. So God connects our hope to our sufferings. Now, nobody is warming to the idea of suffering. And yet we know that in the same way that Jesus suffered, we also suffer in varying degrees in this life. And Paul here in Romans chapter 5 is showing us how our hope is connected to our sufferings. We're a work in progress until Jesus returns. We're in this space between the already and the not yet. We've been saved by God's grace, but we have not yet met Jesus at his resurrection. We've not been yet given our eternal bodies. We have not yet been made perfect. So we're a work in progress until Jesus returns. It's at that point that his grace comes to us afresh. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us about the grace that comes to every believer when they meet Jesus at his second coming. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Christ Jesus is revealed at his coming. And Paul reminds us that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And Paul reminds us too that hope doesn't disappoint. God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Unlike horizontal hope, hope in Christ Jesus never disappoints. It never lets us down. And the Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirits that the promises of God to give us hope and a future are sound. So God connects our hope to the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 5, Peter emphasizes the living nature of hope. The living nature of hope. For us who are kept by the power of God's Spirit, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth through a living hope." He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. So in this season between the already and the not yet, we've been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. In purely human terms, if ever there was a time when people needed hope, as we find ourselves in the middle of this pandemic, it is surely now. In purely human terms. But to take a broader view, it's always the time to encourage people to engage with the hope that is to be found in Christ Jesus. So let's determine not to be tempted to set our hope on things in the horizontal domain. Wealth, influence, power, might, all of these things will evaporate. We need to fix our hope on the Christ who is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for that glorious hope that we have through your Holy Spirit living within us. That glorious hope of our connection to you. Father, we thank you for that hope which we live with every day. That hope that never fades, that never perishes, that can never be undone, no matter what happens in our life, in our world. Father, we thank you. We praise you for giving us a living hope through your Spirit. Father, we thank you too that we have the message of your gospel, the message of a living hope that awaits every person who will repent and believe the gospel of grace. Father, help us to take that message of hope, not just a hope in pandemic times, but a hope that is eternal. Help us to focus on the help that you provide through the hope that you have blessed us with. Father, we thank you for this abiding hope. In Jesus' name.